Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Christian Communicators Live, where we help your ministry grow by sharing insider information from professional speakers and writers.
Well, it's a new year full of new beginnings here at Christian Communicators Live. Well, welcome. I'm Carolyn Knethley. My co-host, Fonda, couldn't be with us today, but I'm sure she has us all in her prayers. I'm just so excited, listeners, to introduce you to a professional encourager. It's my pleasure to introduce our guest, Dr. Michelle Bankston. Welcome, Dr. Bankston.
Thank you, Carolyn. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, we're glad to have you all the way from Texas. Well, before we begin talking with Dr. Bankston, I would like to share a little bit about her. She is a professional encourager who is a board-certified clinical neuropsychologist with over 20 years of experience in the medical and mental health field. Dr. Bankston is also a wife, mother, and friend. I asked for mercy early that I don't call her Michelle. She knows pain and despair. For signs, her professional expertise and personal experience to address issues surrounding medical and mental disorders, both for those who suffer and for those who care for them. She offers sound, practical tools, affirms worth, and encourages faith. Dr. Michelle Bankston offers hope as a key to unlock joy and relief in the middle of a storm. She blogs regularly on her own site at www.drmichellebengtson.com. That's DrMichelleBankston.com. To her list of expertise, Dr. Bankston is a speaker and author. She's a contributing author to Behind Her Brand and Rock Bottom is a Beautiful Place. Her first solo book is under contract and to be published in 2016. Dr. Bankston is also a Christian communicator. She's also a Christian communicator advanced grad. Fonda and I know her personally and her passion to help others. Next week is a perfect example of Dr. Bankston's passionate heart in meeting others' needs. She has a free, completely free webinar, January 28th, at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, called 10 Tips to Beat the Post-Holiday Blues. It focuses on how to make next year different, free. Just go to DrMichelleBankston.com. And her website is called Hope Prevails. The name of your website, Dr. Bankston, is so encouraging. This leads me to my first question. How did you come up with the name Hope Prevails for your ministry?
Oh, Carolyn, the Lord gave me that. I was at a writer's conference, and I was praying about the ministry, and He just dropped it into my spirit that when we have Him, we always have hope. And I see clients and friends and family members struggling through hard times, and what they always want to know is that there's still hope. And in Him, hope always prevails.
Wow, that's perfect. Okay, then would you tell us a little bit about what you do for a living? What does it look like?
I'd love to. I'm a neuropsychologist. Most people are familiar with psychologists as those that you go to for counseling and to work through problems. And so I was trained originally in clinical psychology, but then I specialized in neuropsychology, which is really the study of brain-behavior relationships. So understanding what the brain is doing and how that affects how we think and feel and behave. So people come into my office for evaluations, and then I'm able, through that process, to tell them what the root issues are of what they're struggling with, so that then we can develop a game plan to make life better.
What age group do you work with?
Well, Carolyn, I've seen children as young as 3 months old, and I've seen adults as old as 103. So anybody in between those, I'm happy to see them and see what I can do to help.
Oh, my goodness. Well, why did you choose this field?
Well, I always was an encourager growing up. So I was the one that friends would come to and tell their problems to. But the Lord also made me in such a way that I like puzzles. I'm very analytical, and I like figuring things out. And while I enjoyed clinical psychology, I really wanted the one-on-one opportunity to get to know patients and figure out this problem of what's going on, and then what do we do to solve it. So for me, it was a perfect marriage of where my strengths lie as well as my interests. And I love what I do. I'm one of the few people that I know of that I can honestly say I am so blessed because I do what I love.
That is a blessing. How did God lead you into finding your field, what you love most about your job?
Well, part of the issue for me was that my father, growing up, was born deaf. One ear was deaf. And so that always was an interesting conundrum to me, like how would that happen and how does that affect functioning? And I always wanted to do what I could do to help. And so the Lord just kind of led me down this path. And I worked in the hospitals for a long time. So one of my roles early on was to work in the hematology oncology department of a children's hospital where children are dealing with blood disorders and cancer. And then I was so fortunate to have my own child and wanted to be closer to home and more available to him. So that's when I went into private practice about 15 years ago. So private practice is real close to home, and it allows me to have that one-on-one connection with my patients, but be more available to my family when they need me as well.
So you're saying that one of the things you like most is being close to home and being with your family. So mom, the role of mom is above all else other than your husband and Christ. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's one of my primary responsibilities. You know, I see patients all the time who are at end stage of life, and I never hear one person say, I wish I'd worked more. But I often hear them say, I wish I'd spent more time with my family. And I don't want that to be my regret.
Yes, yes. How wise you are. Well, in the job itself, in the private practice, what is it that you really like the most about that?
Oh, Carolyn, my favorite part in private practice is when patients come in, they'll come in for an initial interview and we'll sit down and discuss what their concerns are and why they're coming to my office. And then we do the evaluation where I assess all different parts of brain functioning. So I'm looking at attention and memory and language and problem solving and emotional functioning, social skills, every area of brain functioning. It's kind of like we take them out for a test drive. But my favorite part is when they come back for the feedback, because that's when I get to sit down and say, look, based on your performance and the questions that you've answered, here's what's going on, and here's what we can do about it. And so often I'm blessed to, as I'm giving that explanation, I can see the light bulb go off. It's like they look at me and I get that confirmation that, yes, I was on the right track. They'll say, that's exactly my child. It's like you live in my home, or that's exactly how I've been feeling, and nobody's figured that out before. That's my favorite thing, because I know that the Lord's working with me and helping me to understand what's going on with someone, and I'm providing answers that they haven't gotten anyplace else. And I love that, because then when we know what's going on, I can also steer them to, here's what we need to do. And that provides hope, hope that they didn't have before. That's my favorite part of the practice.
Well, again, it goes back to the title of your website, Hope Prevails.
It does.
And you're just giving them the confirmation of they're not the only ones, and that there is hope in finding an answer. No wonder that's one of your favorites. Is there a fundamental principle that guides you in your work with your patients?
Well, there's really two, and they both come from Scripture. The first one is Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for not for evil and not to harm you, but for a future and a hope." So it all goes back to hope for me, because God declares it in His Word that He has a future for all of us, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. What it looks like doesn't matter, because He knows the future, and it's a future full of hope as long as we're walking with Him. So that's the first principle that guides my practice. But the second comes from a verse from 3 John 1:2, where in the Word it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." And that's my goal when patients come into my office or when I'm speaking or when I'm in my writing, is to help them get to that place of prospering in their health, their physical health and their emotional health, because then they can go on to do the things that God's called them to do.
Wow. You're a giver. You're a giver of your heart, of your time. These two verses would also give you encouragement after you've spent yourself, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. If I didn't have the Lord, I don't know how people would make it.
I'm with you there. I've written these two verses down. Would you repeat them just one more time so that the audience, our listeners, could have them too?
I absolutely will. The first one was Jeremiah 29:11, which is, "For I know the plans I have, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans for a future and a hope." And the second verse was 3 John 1:2, where He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers."
Again, that is, both of them is loaded with hope. Well, in your type of job, I'm sure there must be areas that could frustrate you in that profession. Can you share anything with us?
There are. Without going political or talking about the healthcare system or anything like that, because that's for another day. But my biggest frustration, truly, that all joking aside, my biggest frustration is that I feel like I can only help the relative few individuals who walk into my practice. And these evaluations can take anywhere from an hour to 8 hours. So I don't see very many patients a day. And so I love providing that hope and giving answers and giving help, but it always feels like there's just not enough opportunity to reach the multitudes that are out there and struggling. You know, depression alone, Carolyn, by the year 2020, that's going to be our greatest epidemic worldwide. And it saddens me to only be able to help a couple people in my office each day. Because there are so many struggling, whether it's depression or anxiety or Alzheimer's or autism, so many struggle, and I just wish that I could reach more people.
Well, are you doing anything to remedy that?
I am in multiple different ways. I blog on my website, drmichellebee.com, but I also blog for a couple other ministries, like For God's Glory Alone Ministries and Ask God Today Ministry. But the Lord, when I was very young, birthed in me a dream to both write and to speak. And so I've written as a contributing author to a couple of books, but what He put in my heart most recently is to write a book. I'm the solo author, and I'm writing a book about depression from a spiritual perspective. But even in that, I was feeling frustrated because I was feeling like, Lord, the publishing industry takes so long. I don't want to wait that long to help people. So while the book is slotted to come out next year, 2016, I wanted to provide help and hope now. So that's part of the reason that I'm doing this webinar next week on January 27th. And I'm providing it free of charge. I'm not selling anything before or during or after, because there are so many that just need a touch from the Father. They just need to know there is hope for for another day. So the webinar is free of charge, and what I'm going to do during that time is give tips and suggestions from my 20 years in the mental health field of things that they can do to help beat the blues. Now, they may not solve the whole problem, but if they could just glean a tip or two or three or maybe all 10 from the webinar that would be helpful for that day, then I'll feel like I accomplished my purpose. And given how widespread this is, your listeners may not be experiencing the blues or even more severe depression themselves, but I guarantee everyone listening knows somebody who is. So this would also give them some suggestions for ways to help loved ones.
Well, I was sharing with my Bible study group about your webinar, and they're taking notes. They're going to be listening in, and we're going to be discussing it afterwards at our following Bible study. So you're going to be with us.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's a great idea, Carolyn.
Well, I know you. I know how you present information. You're a lady of passion and information, and all you want to do is help. So I couldn't keep my mouth shut with the lady. with the ladies during Bible study. We're studying Ruth right now, and we're talking about Naomi's laments. And it was a perfect time to share what you're offering to all of us. So I
love that.
Ultra, ultra excited. But I need to pause right here for a moment, Dr. Bengston. Listeners, if you would like to ask Dr. Bengston any questions, here's the number that you can call in. And it's a free number. It's area code 347-843-4920. Again, that number is 347-843-4920. If you have questions, please call us. All right, I'm going to go to the next question, and that is, in your profession, what do you perceive to be our people's just greatest need nowadays?
Oh, Carolyn, and you know, in my practice, like I mentioned, I see children from 3 months to adults who are 103, and I see a wide variety of disorders, whether it's attention deficit disorder or learning disabilities or depression or anxiety or Alzheimer's and dementia. So I see the gamut. But it really does not matter what the disease or the disorder is. The greatest need always seems to be the need to be loved, to be accepted, and to be found worthy. That cuts across generations, that cuts across gender, that cuts across races and age. Everybody needs to know that they're loved, and everybody wants to know that they're accepted for who they are and that they're worthy. And the great thing is that so frequently God gives me the opportunity to share His love in the middle of a session and to show them that, you know what, you are already loved. It doesn't matter what you do or what you say or what you don't do or what you don't say. It doesn't matter. God already loves you, and that's not going to change. Now, sure, He would love for you to, you know, worship and pray and be in His Word, but even if you did nothing, you are already fully loved, accepted, and found worthy.
Oh, my gosh. You're loving them up right there in the office with giving them mystery nuggets.
I never want anybody to leave and have that question. I think that's where so much of our despair in the world comes from, is sometimes we don't even feel like we can love ourselves. But when we come to really fully appreciate that we are already fully loved, then we can love ourselves and love others. But we cannot give what we don't have. So if we don't fully appreciate the Father's love, we can't give it. So I don't want patients leaving here and having any question in their mind.
Oh, that is so awesome. With it being a private practice, you're not like I was at the university, State University, where I had, it felt like a hand over my mouth because I had to watch what I said. I always thought I was going to be fired from there for being a loudmouth Christian. because I couldn't keep it quiet. I love the fact that you get to share this with those who come into your office.
Well, and I pray about it.
Oh, see, you know me. Prayer is the best cheating item we have.
It is.
Whenever we hit an issue and we just ask God to come in. What do you have to say about that?
Well, when they come into my office, you know, Carolyn, sometimes it's really hard. We go to the doctor, but we don't always want to know what the doctor has to say. You know, we've gone through cancer in our family, and I'll be honest, I didn't want to hear him tell us that at all. And patients don't want to come in and hear that their child has autism or a learning disability or that their mother has Alzheimer's. We don't want that. And so one of the hard parts of my job is figuring out what is the best way that I can share this information in a way that they will be able to receive it in love and accept it, even though they may not like the label or the diagnosis that they're given. If I can share it the right way, then they'll be more likely to accept it, even if they don't like it. And so before I go into any feedback session with a patient, I'm always praying, Father, I don't know how to say this. You know them even more than I do. You've got to give me the words to say so that they can hear it from you and accept it. It is a great cheating tool, but that's what he calls us to do. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. And that means quick to listen to him.
Yes. Oh, yes. I wish I lived in Texas. If I needed to come, I would be there at your door. I just praise God that you are my friend and I get to visit you and talk to you. But I have another question here. Do you think more or less people are depressed now or, say, a decade or two ago?
Well, unfortunately, more. More people are dealing with depression. More people are dealing with anxiety. You know, when I went into this field a little over 20 years ago, I never saw children who were depressed or anxious unless they went through a traumatic life event or, like, cancer. But now I see it in my office every single day. And the statistics are suggesting that it's worldwide. It's not just in the United States. It is worldwide. And that's why by 2020, they're expecting that depression is going to be our greatest epidemic worldwide. So, unfortunately, it's on the rise. But that's why I want to get my word out to try to help people, because there are things we can do. And I want them to know that there are things that they can do to help. That's why we're offering this webinar, to give those tips. If I can help 5, 10, 500, it'll be more than I can do just in my office alone. And then they can go out and help other people.
What is one tip that you could give to a parent to help a young child have hope?
I think part of it is going back to Scripture and even declaring Scripture over our children. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the apple of God's eye. If we will rely on truth and declare that truth over our children, they won't be susceptible to the lies that they hear day to day, that they have to be the prettiest one or the smartest one or the most athletic one. They're already deemed beautiful in the sight of the Lord.
Oh, awesome. Oh, that is terrific. Thank you for sharing that with us. Another question here is, in your profession, do you perceive that there is still a stigma around mental health issues?
I almost wish I didn't have to answer that one, Carolyn, because truthfully, I do think there is still a stigma. And unfortunately, the stigma still exists even in the church. You know, we see a greater frequency of pastors even committing suicide. There's so much shame and condemnation wrapped around having depression or anxiety. But the funny thing is there's not that same shame connected to diabetes or high blood pressure. Yet our brain is our biggest organ, so it all comes back to it's a medical issue. Yet for some reason, we attach shame to emotional issues more than we do other medical issues. So the stigma does exist, but I'm doing everything I can to help tear down that stigma. One person, one blog post, one book at a time.
Oh, wow. Well, you mentioned books. I've been with you where you started talking about your book that's going to be out in 2016. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey in writing the book, the concept when it came, and the process you're going through with the book that's coming out?
I sure can. The idea came to me a couple of years ago about talking about depression and giving hope, because I was seeing such an increase in prevalence in my office. And then I was at a writer's conference, and I really felt like the Lord said, this is something I want you to do now, and had the opportunity to get a lot of positive feedback that, oh, yeah, we need to deal with that, and we need a Christian doctor who's willing to talk about it from a Christian perspective. But then the next thing that happened was that the Lord said, and you know what? We don't really need another doctor writing about depression unless you're going to put your own personal story in it. And so I took a big gulp and said, yes, Lord. And so as I started writing, there were times, I can't lie, there are times I hit the pit. But what's so good is that I know that God is so good, and he has helped bring me out. And through both the professional experience in the mental health field these last 20 years, and then my own personal struggle, I'm able to speak to it from both vantage points. I'm able to speak as the doctor who knows what can help and what can be done and how to diagnose. But God was right. We take people's testimonies a lot more seriously than we take just facts thrown around. So by sharing my own testimony and how the Lord has brought me through it, I think it's going to help people realize they're not alone. And this cuts across all ages, all genders, all races. It's something that could happen to any of us. But God,
oh, wow.
But God can help each and every one of us.
Oh, goodness. Well, we have about 2 minutes left. I'd like to just ask you, is there any last words that you would like to share with our listeners?
I think the thing that's most pressing on my heart,
yeah,
is that the Bible tells us we will go through struggles. We will. It promises us we will. But sometimes we're not the one going through the struggle. Sometimes it's a friend or a family member or a colleague. And we are called to be the body for a reason, because we don't want just all feet or all arms or all legs. We need to pitch in and be different parts of the body for people. So even if your listeners are not the ones who are struggling, please, please be there for someone who is, because it can make the difference between life and death for somebody, both figuratively and literally. We all want to know we're loved and accepted. So be that love and acceptance to someone who needs it.
And by walking beside them, we're showing them that they're worthy.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
My goodness. Dr. Michelle Bengston, I love you. You have such encouraging information. I'm looking forward. I've signed up myself. I will be listening in next week. Yes, and it's going to be at 7:30 Central Time on January
28th.
And I just appreciate your time. And if you want more information, listeners, if you'll go to www.drmichellebengston.com. That's Bengtson. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. Without you, there'd be no reason to have Christian Communicators Live. Thank you for your encouragement to our ministry. Now, if you feel called and don't know where to begin, or perhaps you're already speaking but want to learn how to grow your outreach and connect with other Christian women speakers, Vonda and I hope that you would visit ChristianCommunicators.com, where we work to educate, validate, and launch women in their speaking ministries. Our next conference is August 26th through the 27th, or the 30th, at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove in Asheville. Hope to hear from you soon. Our announcement for the conference will be in February. Spaces go quickly, so give us a call. Thanks for joining us. Vonda and I hope you'll listen in next month. As 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Uplifting blessings, and goodbye.